This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's part two of our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. We're trying to get to as many questions as we can. By the way, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions, so please take part. We always enjoy fielding your most challenging inquiries, and they're of general interest to the rest of the audience. So keep those questions coming. What's next?
Okay, we have an email from Michael. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I've been experiencing chronic diarrhea for several months. The GI doctor ordered a fecal calprotectin test.
Stop. Why did he order the fecal calprotectin test? The reason is because that's a pretty good screening test for inflammatory bowel disease.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who have loose bowel movements, and they probably have something called IBS-D, which is, you know, you can divide irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, into two basic categories, and then there's a crossover category, which is mixed, which is some diarrhea, some constipation, and alternation. It's never quite right. But usually people have either IBS-C, constipation predominant, or IBS-D, diarrhea predominant, or loose stool, or urgency predominant. And he has IBS-C, but
IBS-D.
I'm sorry, D. IBS-D.
And you're talking about irritable bowel syndrome, but isn't this more about inflammatory bowel disease,
so
the calprotectin?
I just came across a very interesting study, because I'm doing some research for a presentation on ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And it turns out that a very high percentage of people with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, the diagnosis is missed for an average of, get this, 11 years.
So, just like celiac disease.
Right, right. So what what the doctor says is like, you have IBS. You have IBS-D, and they don't test for colitis. And they just say, well, you know, a lot of people have this and blah, blah, blah. Take some psyllium. And it gets missed. But once you have a high calprotectin, it more suggests a diagnosis of colitis. Now, the diagnosis of colitis, however, is not just made solely on the basis of the calprotectin. It's made on the basis of, it's an anatomical diagnosis. You got to look and see if there's ulcerations in the intestine. Now, what makes this more difficult is that it is thought that a certain percentage of IBS patients have inflammation. But it doesn't rise to the level of colitis.
Inflammatory bowel disease.
Right.
Yeah.
So it may be apparent as slight reddening on looking with a scope.
Okay.
Or not.
On colonoscopy.
On colonoscopy. Or it may only be apparent when they do a biopsy and they say, gee, we didn't see anything, but under the microscope we see inflammatory changes. Very slight inflammatory changes. Okay? So, So this suggests that there's a spectrum of what appears to be IBS, but it may progress to ulcerative colitis, or it may just stay IBS, and there's some inflammation there. We might also see calprotectin in something called post-infectious colitis. Post-infectious IBS.
IBS.
Right.
Which can happen after, say, about a foodborne illness, possibly.
A trip to Mexico or a trip to China, and you're never quite right for months and sometimes years.
So don't go to those places. No, I'm kidding.
No, it just happens. So there's actually a test now. It's called IBS Detects, D-E-T-E-X, that can be done. It's a blood test that actually tells you if you're likely to have post-infectious. Now, that and, you know, 250 will get you a cup of coffee at a Starbucks. It won't, you know, that doesn't do you much to get to diagnosis. But now, there's a very interesting study that suggests that for this specific type of IBS, not every type of IBS, but for post-infectious IBS, that L-glutamine is very helpful in this small study. There was a remarkable effectiveness of 1 teaspoon of powdered L-glutamine mm-hmm. 3 times daily for
in
8 weeks.
In a little
weeks.
Water. Yep.
Yep. For that, but not every IBS. Huh. Because there's, you know, IBS is a many splendored thing. There's a lot of components to it. It might
That's
be SIBO. It might be inflammatory. It might be post-infectious. It might be mm-hmm. due to an allergy or hidden celiac disease. Or it could
yes.
be stress-related. It,
yes.
The stress is a big component. You know, mm-hmm. Some people, they have to go to the bathroom before they have a presentation, or Monday morning before, you know, a big week.
Yeah.
They, you know, they sit in the toilet for, you know, 1.5 hours before they can get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. you know, there's yeah. a complexity to this.
So, Michael had a fecal calprotectin test, which was 56, indicating
which
borderline.
Which is a little high. It's not that high.
Yeah. Yeah. He's wondering, could this be about bile acid malabsorption or something like that?
Well, we're getting a little into the weeds there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's some theories about that, but.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Michael, this requires more of a workup than anything, right?
Yep.
Definitely a colonoscopy to see what's
yeah,
going
I,
on.
Yeah, I think that this would be the point at which at least a,
right.
If not a colonoscopy, at least a sigmoidoscopy mm-hmm. to see if there's inflammation. Because mm-hmm. one of the, I mean, colonoscopy is much more definitive, but
yeah.
for colitis, about 80% of the trouble occurs within the range of the sigmoidoscopy,
okay.
you know, which is a shorter mm-hmm. scope.
Right, right. Michael, best of luck to you. Thank you for your question. Oh, we've got this question from Phil. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla, longtime listener in Vancouver. My salsa instructor, Alfonso, suffered a tibia fracture and discovered he had bone cancer.
Oh, no.
He's had a bone graft. He's been through chemo. He's slowly recovering. It's been 8 months. He's walking with crutches. I've suggested your bone health protocol and mentioned that you yourself suffered a traumatic sports fracture.
Yeah, but this is different because
yeah.
this is an underlying cancer. And the cancer,
yeah.
we don't know what kind of cancer it is. It could be metastatic prostate cancer,
hmm.
but more likely it's something like multiple myeloma.
Wow.
Yeah, that's which eats away at the bones.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I can't say that this, what, you know, I had a fracture that was a clean fracture.
Mm-hmm.
Due to trauma, not just salsa dancing, but, you know, falling on concrete on,
yeah.
on a bicycle at some velocity. And that's an ordinary fracture.
Mm-hmm.
And that fracture responded to some of the things that I have in my protocol.
Yeah.
Which this is like well over 10 years ago, and I've made some changes in that protocol.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest something, if it's an ordinary fracture, I would use Ostanol.
Yeah.
I would
even
use,
in the setting of cancer and all that.
Well, I'm not sure.
Phil's
I would,
asking
no,
if
you
it
know,
should
I,
be
I,
the same protocol.
I don't
protocol.
Think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, it's something that causes cells to proliferate.
Yeah.
It may not be good
not
for
be
a
the best time
bone
for that.
Cancer. It's like feed the cancer.
Yeah.
That may not be good.
Right.
So I don't think
right.
you can apply that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to cause the osteoblasts.
Blasts.
To.
Mm-hmm.
to proliferate in healing,
mm-hmm.
but you want osteoblasts to proliferate when the problem may be an uncontrolled proliferation of osteoblasts
yes.
in a bone cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's not right.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Another example of why a particular protocol in one setting may be good, like the L-glutamine you mentioned in the last question, is that same L-glutamine may not be great for somebody with an existing cancer
mm-hmm.
because it may cause a little more proliferation. It seems to be a U-shaped curve on L-glutamine for cancer patients when they're not taking it for the side effects
right.
of chemotherapy.
Right.
When
right.
they're just taking it,
yep.
for example. And that's another
mm-hmm.
difference. I mean, Lise Altshuler,
yep.
the naturopathic doctor out in Arizona.
The guru on
has
the
a,
natural
yes,
approach to cancer. Yeah.
What chemo goes with which kind of protocol and
yep.
which doesn't. And there's so many
there's
new
some
drugs
surprises
now.
There. There's some surprises
there. It's
hard to
there. Keep up.
And, you know, so
yeah.
it may be that a very, very wonderful anti-cancer agent like curcumin or
yeah.
EGCG has a specific harmful interaction with a cancer drug that it gets in the way somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but that's almost on an individual basis because these are new compounds that are synthetic and we don't have that much experience with them, but we're, mm-hmm. the studies are being done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And more studies need to be done to help us determine what goes with certain types of cancer therapies.
Yeah. Oh, Philip, we wish your salsa instructor, Alfonso, all kinds of success in his treatment. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow. Thank you for your question. Here's one from Nancy. Thank you for your wonderful podcasts. Thank you for listening, Nancy. I have a question about B12. It's impossible to get a B12 shot from allopathic doctors. They need to see a very low B12. And if they don't get that over the age of 50, mm-hmm. most people need it as they don't have the intrinsic factor.
That's not true.
Not 50. It's got to be older than that.
Well,
that
intrinsic factor goes down, but not everybody over 50 mm-hmm. needs a B12 shot. And not everybody over 50 stops making intrinsic factor.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether it's about intrinsic factor or whether it's about, you know, aging in general, B12 can be very therapeutic for low energy.
Mm.
So it's unscientific to mm-hmm. give a B12 shot. And a lot of young hotshot doctors believe they know everything about nutrition because, you know,
they went to that lecture on nutrition.
So they say that, you know, if your B12 is like 205, that's okay. But less than 175, then you might need a shot. So the other thing about B12 is that you can actually stave off B12 deficiency sometimes with supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And get into a more normal range. But a B12 shot may be very therapeutic for somebody with chronic fatigue syndrome or...
Well, Nancy says the B12 shot worked on my dad with trigeminal neuralgia when nothing else worked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have sciatica, and I believe it can help me. What say you to that for somebody with sciatica? You think a B12 shot may...
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
Or she's asking, do you know of any product?
As long as a shot is not accidentally in the sciatic nerve,
which
they teach you in nursing school to avoid.
Do you know of any product or way to get the amount of B12 from a shot? What if you took oral B12?
Well, there's sublingual, there's nasal B12.
Yeah. You could do something that way.
There's nothing like a B12 shot, though.
There's nothing like a B12 shot, right. Like instant delivery right there.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, find another doctor who will give you a B12 shot. We like to see serum B12 levels around 600 or above.
See a functional medicine doctor.
Yes.
There's only like, you know, thousands and thousands of them now in America.
True.
When I started in practice 30 years ago, they were few and far between. But they're, in this city of New York, there's hundreds and hundreds and not just MDs, but also... nutritionally oriented nurse practitioners
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I don't know, the chiropractors can give injections in the state of New York, but naturopaths can give injections in many states.
Yeah. They're still not quite legal in New York, are they, NDs?
They haven't been really accepted because New York is a real
police state.
It's also a real mainstream medicine state.
Yeah.
You know, medicine's very powerful in New York. They've got those, you know, big doctor lobby in Albany, and it's...
The cabal.
They don't want any competition. It's basically anti-competitive.
Oh.
All right, good point at which to pause before we get ourselves in too much trouble. This is an opportunity for one of our sponsors to share an important message with you, so please listen up.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free, continuing resource to you. And now back to Layla with some more questions.
Yeah, this email is from John. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I have some mild arthritis issues that I take various supplements to help manage. Glucosamine, MSM, curcumin, bromelain, omega-3s. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Very good, John. My question relates to curcumin. I currently take 2 500 milligrams of Mareva every day. A family member with more severe arthritis was advised by his doctor to, quote, take turmeric with black pepper, end quote, 3 500 milligram capsules per day. He swears that this combination has been beneficial for his arthritis symptoms. What are your thoughts regarding this matter of turmeric, black pepper?
What's the actual name of it?
Bioperin.
Bioperin?
Yeah, bioperin. And I know that bioperin, which is the constituent of black pepper that aids in the absorption of nutrients, has been used in a lot of vitamin formulations for at least a decade. I know it's gone longer than that. I remember back when Dr. Atkins introduced bioperin into his basic vitamin formula. I think it was called Basic Number 3.
Okay.
Which was interesting at the time. But I remember other of his colleagues had mentioned that since the introduction of that bioperin into that supplement, some people were complaining of occasional diarrhea.
Okay.
So we don't know if it was specifically related, but...
If you want to read the research on this, there's a website. It's called bioperin, with an E on the end, .com. And there's some research on this that says that things like beta-carotene, CoQ10, curcumin, even iron, resveratrol, selenium, B6, their absorption can be enhanced. Now, however, you know, keep in mind this is a proprietary website put out by a company called Sabinsa, which makes this material. And so they have a stake in demonstrating with some small studies that indeed it enhances the absorption of the nutrient in question.
Yeah.
So how does it work precisely? What troubles me is I don't quite understand how it works. Why it should work. Do you have any?
No, not really. But something about the constituent of bioperin is aiding the absorption. The other important thing with turmeric is you want to take some fat. You could do a golden milk with turmeric. You want to make sure that you're using fats in your cooking, good quality olive oil, coconut oil, anything like that. When you're making scrambled eggs, sprinkle some turmeric on it. That helps
I used to
as
make,
well.
When I my vegan days, I used to make scrambled tofu with a turmeric to make it look like an egg,
yeah,
like orange.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
If you make rice pilaf, sprinkle turmeric there when you add your butter and everything. You'll have a nice yellow rice.
And put some pepper on it.
Right, right. So I don't think it necessarily hurts. I've heard some adverse reaction with some people, but not enough to really make a big stink about, honestly.
Yeah, okay.
So, well, I do know, for our patients with, say, inflammatory bowel disease or intractable diarrhea, I tell them lay off the black pepper.
Yeah.
Because it can be an irritant.
Sure.
If you're experiencing that. But if you're not, it's not going to cause it.
Right.
You know, just like eating spicy food is not going to cause heartburn.
Right.
Unless you have existing heartburn or hiatal hernia or some other.
Yep.
So, John, take the Mareva and you're on some good supplements.
Mareva comes with bioperin?
I believe Maria used to use bioperin, but I think they're using something different now. Mareva,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
In their curcumin supplement. So I believe they're using something else at this point. All right.
We have time for one more question, so let's see what we have.
Oh, okay. This comes from Nancy. Thank you for your wonderful radio show, Dr. Hoffman. My 68-year-old sister has Lyme, rheumatoid arthritis, and Hashimoto's. She's been on and off antibiotics for a couple of years. When she goes off the antibiotics, her body feels sick. What would you recommend instead of antibiotics?
Okay.
She is seeing a Lyme literate doctor.
Right.
Thankfully.
So this speaks to the great controversy about Lyme disease, which is, you know, how do you know when people feel sick after they've had Lyme disease? Well, first of all, did they really have Lyme disease in the first place? Because the testing can be unreliable. And some Lyme literate doctors, I think, overreach. They use what whatever evidence they can muster. Mm-hmm. And eventually you do enough tests and something's going to yield some equivocal or positive
when
results.
When you're fishing enough, you'll catch a fish.
Yeah. Well, except for me. I just don't, you know, I just dip my line in the water and, you know, waste time. But first of all, does this person even have Lyme disease? Now, you might say, well, of course they have Lyme disease because when they take antibiotics, they feel better. Now, it could be that there is such a thing as chronic resistant Lyme disease, where the bacteria are very hard to kill and they hide deep in the tissue and they form
biofilms.
L forms, which are very resistant to antibiotics. And that's one theory about this. But it could also be that the Lyme has already been cured and that the person has a post-Lyme syndrome with an inflammatory component. Now, this person already has evidence of autoimmunity and inflammation with arthritis and Hashimoto's disease. So why would they be better when they take antibiotics? Well, for a couple of reasons. One, certain antibiotics have anti-inflammatory effects, such as tetracycline and doxycycline and minocycline. They actually have intrinsic antibiotic effects beyond their ability to kill bacteria. So some people get relief when they take them. The other theory is that something in the microbiome may be triggering distress or pain or inflammation or malaise, and that by taking antibiotics, it suppresses this, you know, the bad bugs that are causing distress.
Yeah.
And that's actually what's causing what's producing relief. Mm. And that we're not necessarily killing Lyme organisms. So, you know, I don't know.
This is fascinating.
It's fascinating and perplexing at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a...
Fascinating in a perplexing way.
Right.
No, because the microbiome throws a wrench, if you will, in so much of this, in the way we thought about what's affecting what truly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
So, you know, it's a little hard to say what's going on there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in working with a patient like this, we might evaluate the microbiome. We might see if there's a lot of, you know, imbalance.
Nancy's asking specifically, what would you recommend instead of antibiotics? But how could we know? A, without a workup. But if it is, for example, if the antibiotics not working.
There are certain botanical things that have an antibiotic-like effect. You know, things like, you know, Candibactin AR and BR and berberine, which is a component of Candibactin BR. That's a product, I think, by... Is it a Metagenics product, I think?
I believe it's a Metagenics product, yeah.
And then there's, you know, also oregano.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are the natural antibiotics. There's something called biocidin, which
biocidin
we like to use.
Biocidin is very good.
Which is a combination of herbs, but there are many things. Mm-hmm. So if working on the antibiotic theory, but, you know, working on the other theory, changing the microbiome via the diet, changing the microbiome via probiotics, you know, and also maybe working on the immune system, you know, low-dose naltrexone.
Yeah, modulating the immune system.
Yeah.
Very important, all this. Being on a proper diet as well. Removing gluten, dairy, removing all the suspects, the nightshades in autoimmunity to help regulate.
Seeing if there's leaky gut, you know, addressing the leaky gut syndrome, because it appears there's a relationship between the gut and Hashimoto's. And
It's almost a tenet of integrative medicine to say most, if not all, autoimmune conditions begin with a leaky gut at this point, really.
So, and that may have been established by virtue of these conditions.
Yeah.
So anyway, so, you know, that's how we start thinking about this kind of patient. It's not easy, but we might... you know, find some way out of this dilemma. Anyway, let's...
Best of luck to your sister, Nancy.
Yeah.
She needs an integrative physician for a full workup. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Layla, for joining us, and thanks, audience, for listening, and thanks for propelling us over the goal line on a $6 million download run with our podcast.
That's the latest number,
right? Yeah, we just crossed that milestone. So thanks to you listeners for helping us achieve that. And, you know, we will pledge ourselves to go onward and upward towards even greater milestones with your kind help and attention. And we'll try and make it interesting and challenging for you on this journey.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Roland Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.